On this edition of Our Town, we are speaking with some folks that are involved in the Florence Festival of Books. Rachel Pearson is here, and so is Charles Castle. Now, we're going to introduce you to Charles, because most of you already know Rachel. So, Charles, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning, and thanks for, you know, doing this.
You're welcome.
I'm here because of poetry, and I hosted a open mic in Eugene for 4 or 5 years, burning down the barns.
In Barnes & Noble?
Yes, okay. In Barnes & Noble, indeed. And, you know, I enjoy poetry. I enjoy writing poetry. I enjoy reading poetry. But I also enjoy creating an environment where other people can come in and share their work. If they've only written one poem, they can come in for the first time and stand up and, you know, say they've read their poem. So that's what I find inspirational and interesting. And to now be in Florence, where Florence has had for a number of years, the Big Wave open mic series that Paul and Francis Klippel have run nonstop, even during pandemic. So coming here, I've kind of teamed up with them and have been part of their group. And now with Florence Festival of Books, which even when I was in Eugene, I was coming over to do that. And so it's been a pleasure to continue that here.
So you're a mature man like myself.
I am maturely over 70.
Yeah. So, well, then you're a little bit older than I am, but just barely. So take me back to your earliest recollection of poetry and what fascinated you about it.
Reader's Digest books that 1950s our parents would have been collecting.
The little magazines you get once a month?
No, the big
hardcover. We've had those,
oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. I don't even remember who did that, but I remember that being read to me as a kid. And then in high school, I had an amazing English teacher who introduced us more to poetry. And I wrote a few poems at that time. And I remember my grandmother, when I was 16, buying me a hardcover, large book of Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass. So, and she was a middle school teacher in West Hartford, Connecticut. So what from there? And then high school, community college up in the Adirondacks. The library got a grant to bring up a summer resident musician poet from New York City. And he came up, and by the end of the summer, he had brought together a group of 15 or 20 local kids who like to do poetry, and he was one of the publishers for Hanging Loose, which was a poetry collection that came out every month or so down in the city that focused on the work of younger poets. So all of us who were in his group had something published. And we continued through that winter to have a weekly read, which was in the old Swinging Tiger Bar of the old 1930s hotel that I was living in with many of my friends and also the handyman for. So we got the okay to make a coffee shop out of the old Swinging Tiger Bar in the basement, which was a funky place. And
cool.
we did that for, you know, the better part of the winter. And, you know, from that point, you know, I went on to other things, and it took a long time to find a poetry community again, which was what Eugene turned out to be for me many years later.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And then by extension, the connection in Lane County to Francis and Paul Klippel. And I believe they call their group now Big Wave Spoken Word, mm-hmm. which encompasses anything that you want to get up and say within a time limit. And they, as they said, they're still going strong despite everything.
They are indeed, yeah.
So we brought in Spoken Word, and knowing, because Charles has been an incredible volunteer for the Winter Music Festival last year and had them have a booth or a table. And Charles said, hey, we sold more books at your festival than we have in weeks. And, you know, you sell them at
months.
Months. Maybe a year. And it was pretty exciting, and we'd like to bring it back. And it's not going to be a workshop because that kind of scares people a little bit, although I think the people that went in there came out really enlightened and encouraged that did a poem for the first time and maybe spoke a poem for the first time in front mm-hmm. of anybody, any poem, their own or others. And we'd like to recreate that in a – it's not going to be the Swinging Tiger Bar because we don't have the budget for that kind of decor, although mm-hmm. our treasurer is in the room, so maybe he can
maybe he can find the money. Yeah.
He can find the money. But we're going to try to recreate that creativity that Charles experienced in the Adirondacks as a teenager and bring it into 2026 – or 25 this September.
Yeah. So let's find out more about the Florence Festival of Books now. It's going to be Saturday, September 27th, which we're getting kind of an early jump on it this year, letting people know way out ahead so they can make their plans for it. Because, you know, September gets busy around here too, so we want to make sure everybody's aware that save this date for, you know, for if you want some culture.
Correct.
That weekend. So tell me a little bit about what's going on. It's a curated festival.
Indeed. That means that we take applications and look through them and try to get a good mix of people who've published recently or have, like William Sullivan, the local author, have a wide range of published things, even if he hasn't published a book in the last couple of years.
Somebody might have one, somebody might have 50.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we are going to have people, if they only have one book but they're eager to promote it, we'll have them share a table. So, and actually that makes it more collegial. Having two people, two authors at a table kind of – it lessens the burden because for the first-time author who's selling a book or promoting it, they kind of don't know what to do.
We had six or eight local coastal poets sharing the table last year.
Mm-hmm.
And It was really fun to bring everybody together and have interaction with a public interested in books and poets and
then the poets
local
themselves
authors.
Probably can
absolutely
collaborate and commiserate.
Whatever. Yeah, and then we draw people in and invite them to the mm-hmm. open mic later.
And that's held at FRA usually? Or is it a – where do you hold the open – oh, I'm sorry. The open mic will be part of our workshop, but then the – Spoken Word continuing monthly meeting.
It's partly the poets that we're drawing from, some of them have published. Mm-hmm. So they have the opportunity to, you know, sit at the table with their books. But there's also a much larger community both in the state and up and down the coast. So I know that several of these people had their own tables. Selling their own books.
Great.
So we're all part of a larger community, too.
So that is exciting in that there is a there's a need for this, and it kind of got squashed a little bit during the COVID lockdowns, but we're trying to bring it back and bring in a younger group of people. It's hard to bring in high school kids in September because a lot of people are in sports or they have jobs, but we'll encourage them to come in if they can.
Yeah, but I will tell you, as a former poet in high school, I would have done the poet thing rather than sports. So if there are some kids that are out there that are interested in that and parents have mm-hmm. kids that are interested, let them know about this because an opportunity like this would be so great for someone that young to kind of experience that whole excitement and that whole thing about sharing a work you've prepared.
So, that's really what we want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, any of us older remember the first time we were invited into a larger community and to step up in front of a microphone. So we have a deep affinity for bringing in younger people. So please, if you have a student, son, daughter, nephew, whatever, bring them by the Poets Table, and
grandson,
we'd love to meet them. Anybody, any
in
age,
our market.
Any
yeah.
age, because you will be given priority to get up in front of a microphone and, you know, at least a small group of, you know, friendly listeners.
Yeah.
And I will say that it's $2 to get in, which we have a nominal fee to get in to make it worthwhile for us, because we do pay rent to the event center. $5 if you go to any and all of the speakers and workshops and drop-ins. So we feel that's a kind of a nominal fee for what you're getting. Mm-hmm. And I also need to shout out to Western Lane Community Foundation. They're giving us a grant again this year, very generous grant to help pay for the tables for the people that are doing workshops and drop-ins, which includes the Poet Table. So that'll be fun. We also have a couple of exciting things. The keynote speaker is planned to be Toby Neal. She lives in Reedsport, but she's kind of an international author in a way, and grew up in a hippie commune kind of situation in Hawaii, on Kauai. And she has a book called Freckles. But she's written dozens of books. She's a prolific author. And then we have Ruby McConnell, who's an environmental author and activist, interviewing a man named Brendan O'Meara, who – these are not household names, but they're super interesting, and they're in the podcast world. And Brendan has a literary podcast. And he just finished a book, and it's on its way to being published, probably as we speak, called The Front Runner. And it's the history and story and subsequent history of our friend from Marshfield High School, Steve Prefontaine.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
very cool.
Very Lane County, very – well, Douglas County, but too. But
yeah, well, yeah.
He's a Lane County boy in a sense. So that's exciting. And then we have the other things, and including just all the favorite authors that come around every year, and it's kind of like old home week for them. So – we're looking forward to the 14th annual.
All right. Saturday, September 27th. Put it on your calendar and make your plans and put your $2 in your cupboard so it's there for you ready. Thank you, sir.
We'll take pennies, even if they're getting eliminated. We'll
Rachel
take,
Pearson.
We'll take
Charles
poems.
Castle. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And that concludes our June edition of Our Town. Thanks for staying tuned. Appreciate you. We'll be back again in July with more great interviews.